ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सा चिन्तयन् इत्थम् अथ शृणोत् यथा मुने सुथोक्थो निरिथिस् तथा खाख्या तथाक्षखाख्या सा साधु मेने ना चिरेण तथाक्षा नलम् प्रसक्थस्य विरक्ति हरणम् सचिन्तयन्निथम् सचिन्तयन् इत्थम् अथ शृणोत् यथा सुथोक्थौ निरिथिस्तथक्षया मुने सुथुक्थौ निरिथिस्तथक्षख्या See, because this is spoke, depends who's speaking, they make it very difficult. Like Brahma's is always in with 14 syllables, so you find some verses are very simple and some are very, very complex. बलम् प्रसक्तस्य निरक्तिकारणम् सचिन्तयन् इत्थम् अथ शृणोत् यथा मुने सुथोक्थौ निरिथिस्तथक्षया ससारुणेन चिरेण तक्षका बलम् प्रसक्तस्य विरक्तिकारणम्
Thank you.
Thinking. Ittam. Like this. Atha. Now. Ashrinot. Heard. Yata. As. Mune.
Of the sage.
Sutta Upta.
Uttered by the
sun. Niriti. Death. Takshaka Akya, in relation with the snake bird.
Sa,
he, the king. Sadhu,
well and good.
Mene, accepted. Na, not. Chirena,
very long time.
Takshaka,
snake bird.
Analam,
fire.
Prasaktasya,
for one who is too attached.
Virakti,
indifference.
Karanam,
cause.
Translation. While the king was thus repenting, he received news of his imminent death, which would be due to the bite of a snake bird, occasioned by the curse spoken by the sage's son. The king accepted this as good news, for it would be the cause of his indifference towards worldly things. Purport. Real happiness is achieved by spiritual existence, or by cessation of the repetition of birth and death. What can stop the repetition of birth and death? Only by going back to Godhead. In the material world, even attaining the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, one cannot get rid of the conditions of repeated birth and death. But we do not accept the path of attaining perfection. The path of perfection frees one from all material attachments, and thus one becomes fit to enter into the spiritual kingdom. Therefore, those who are materially poverty-stricken are better candidates than those who are materially prosperous. Maharaj Parikit was a great devotee of the Lord and a bona fide candidate for entering into the kingdom of God. But even though he was so, his material assets as the emperor of the world were setbacks to perfect attainment of his rightful status as one of the associates of the Lord in the spiritual sky. As a devotee of the Lord, he could understand that the cursing of the Brahmin boy, although unwise, was a blessing upon him, being the cause of detachment from worldly affairs, both political and social. Samika Muni also, after regretting the incident, conveyed the news to the king as a matter of duty, so that the king would be able to prepare himself to go back to Godhead. Shramika Muni sent news to the king that that foolish Sringi, his son, although a powerful Brahmin boy, unfortunately had misused his spiritual power by cursing the king unwarrantedly. The incident of the king's garlanding the Muni was not sufficient cause for being cursed to death. But since there was no way to retract the curse, the king was informed to prepare for death within a week. Both Shramika Muni and the king were self-realized souls. Shramika Muni was a mystic, and Maharaj Parikit was a devotee. Therefore, there was no difference between them in self-realization. Neither of them was afraid of meeting death. Maharaj Parikit could have gone to the Muni to beg his pardon, but the news of imminent death was conveyed to the king with so much regret by the Muni that the king did not want to shame the Muni further by his presence there. He decided to prepare himself for his imminent death and find out the way to go back to Godhead. The life of a human being is a chance to prepare oneself to go back to Godhead or to get rid of the material existence, the repetition of birth and death. Thus, in the system of Varnashram Dharma, every man and woman is trained for this purpose. In other words, the system of Varnashram Dharma is known also as Sanatan Dharma, or the eternal occupation. The system of Varnashram Dharma prepares a man for going back to Godhead, and thus a householder is ordered to go to the forest as Vanapras to acquire complete knowledge, and then to take sannyas prior to his inevitable death. Parikit Maharaj was fortunate to get a 7-day notice to meet his inevitable death. But for the common man, there is no definite notice. Although death is inevitable for all, foolish men forget this sure fact of death and neglect the duty of preparing themselves for going back to Godhead. They spoil their lives in animal propensities to eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy. Such an irresponsible life is adopted by the people in the age of Kali because of a sinful desire to condemn Brahminical culture, God consciousness, and cow protection, for which the state is responsible. The state must employ revenue to advance these three items and thus educate the populace to prepare for death. The state which does not do so is the real. The state which does so is the real welfare state. The state of India should better follow the examples of Maharaj Parikit, the ideal executive head, than to imitate other materialistic states which have no idea of the kingdom of Godhead, the ultimate goal of human life. Deterioration of the ideals of Indian civilization has brought about the deterioration of civic life, not only in India, but also abroad. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us the perfect system, how to go back to Godhead. This is really the purpose. That's why we're all here. So Parikit Maharaj was also following this, and that's why he was a devotee. He was practicing this for that purpose. But unfortunately, in doing one's service within devotional activities, within the Varnashram system, sometimes one forgets this by position, by influence, authority, wealth, whatever opulence may be there. And it gets in the way of indifference. Because actually one gets out of the material world by indifference. One gets into the spiritual world by devotion. So devotion may be there, but if there's not indifference to the material energy, one will get stuck. Or there may be indifference to the material energy, but if there's no devotion, you won't get into the spiritual world. So both are required. So because of the opulence and all that, means, in other words, he's giving this as example. Then he became overcome. He's the king. He's coming to Shamika Rishi's ashram. He is asking for a drink of water. This is afforded by anyone. You go, Prabhupada makes this statement, it's from the Manu Samhita, that in any good man's house, then there's always a grass mat, some water, some sweet words, you know, some place to lay down. That's anybody's house. So, therefore, due to standing on those principles, then he became very absorbed and very upset, very angry. But that's okay. But if you're really serious about getting out of here, one has to be indifferent. Okay, this is what it should be. He didn't do. Okay, we move on. It's not a big deal. The material energy we make is important. Material energy isn't important, but we give it great importance because we're involved in it. We identify with it. So we take it very seriously. But in doing so, it's okay as it's taken seriously to do the service nicely for Krishna, but one has to understand that whatever situation that one's in, it will fall away. It's transient. It will move. It will not last. There's nothing that will last. There is no security here. The only security is devotional service, is Krishna, is the Vaishnavas, the holy name. There isn't anything else. But because our conditioned nature doesn't buy that, therefore we have to take and whatever we have, the body, our mind, our intelligence, our facilities, our position, all this is important because it gives me security. It gives me a sense of well-being. If I feel good, I do nice service. I feel bad, I don't do nice service. That's the fact. Therefore, it only has its importance. Right? Just like here, we see Prabhupada's always talking about Brahminical cow culture. That's constant. Now and again he talks about cows, but then Prabhupada makes the point, go Brahman Nihitaya Cha, that the cows are more important. But here Prabhupada then balances that. Why is that more important? Because the cows give the food for supporting the Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture happens because of milk. Right? That's the thing, because that's there. Then the Brahmins, the refined brain tissues, this and that, then they're able to perform their activities nicely. Right? Does that make some sense? So that's why it's first. So first you have the cow, they're taken care of, then you have milk. You have milk, then you have Brahminical culture. You have Brahminical culture, you have God consciousness. You have God consciousness, people go back to Godhead. Right? So that's there. So then the material energy only takes on importance because it's important for us. And then what's important for us, then if it's engaged in Krishna's service, then we progress back to Godhead. Does that make sense? If we're unstable, we don't feel secure, we don't do nice service. That's not because devotional service depends upon having a place to stay or some money or some friends or some support. It has nothing to do with it. But for us, we're not peaceful unless that's there. Therefore, it gets its importance. Does that make sense? That's what it's for. So the Varnashram then is a system in which we can practice the principles of spiritual culture, spiritual life. It means how they live and interact in the spiritual world, we can do that here. It has its particular application because we are in the material world. But that's its importance. So when Prabhupada calls Sanatana Dharma, Sanatana means eternal. That means the principles of Varnashram are going to be followed in the spiritual world. Right? That of service, that of non-violence. Violence means control. Non-violence means I'm not trying to control it. Right? If you try to control something, you're not in control. You don't control, you're in control. Right? The child comes, you know, the little child comes running up to you and says something or sits down next to you. As you, then it's nice. So then you like that. So you try to control. So the kid stays there. The kid gets restless, wants to go on that, and will go off and won't come back for a while. But if you're detached, but follow the culture, They come, you interact nicely or pleasant. You don't care if they come or go, they'll stay longer. That's just the way it is. Energy sticks to energetic. Energetic is detached. Energy is attached. This is the secret to making anything that you want to deal with in the material world work. I mean, anything. You understand this? Your life works. If your life's not working, because you don't understand this. You're trying to control, because it's violence. Non-violence means non-control. Appropriating what's not ours means it's not ours. It's not our time. We want this time from this person. We expect them to give it. It's not our time. It doesn't mean that you're going out and pilfering from your neighbor. That's the grossest form. That's niti. I mean, that's just morality. But you want to go back to Godhead, so this is Sanatana Dharma. So there's something eternal here in the Varnashram. So that means it's not yours. It's Krishna. So this is Krishna's devotee. They're engaged in Krishna's service. I will interact, but I'll interact according to whatever is appropriate for the moment. Not how I demand it must be. Otherwise I demand, then again comes in control. It's violence. Right? Controlling the senses. The senses must be controlled. And not controlled, it is not human life. Let alone spiritual. Senses must be controlled. The modern idea, no, let them go, this, that, it's animal life. No ifs, no ands, or buts. Prabhupada is very clear here. Like that. The state of India should better follow the examples of Maharaj Prickett, the ideal executive head, than to imitate other materialistic states which have no idea of the kingdom of Godhead. And Prabhupada even goes so far, he takes the risk of saying, deterioration of the ideals of Indian civilization. So Prabhupada doesn't buy this idea that, oh, this is Indian civilization, so it's just materialistic, I don't need to follow it, so it's no better than American culture, so I put them on the same footing, and since I'm in America, I prefer America. Prabhupada doesn't buy that. This is something that you have to accept. Prabhupada doesn't buy the American viewpoint on world perspective, that their culture is the cat's meow and everything else is not pragmatic. Prabhupada very bluntly says it right here. But he's a gentleman, so he says it so he could read right by it and not notice it. I'm not such a gentleman. I bring it out. Like that. But this is the point, is that we have to have faith in our own heritage. It works. It's always worked. Right? Most of our communities around the world are supported by money from which community? The Indians. So if you can take their money, I don't know why we can't take the culture that their money is based on. Right? So this is the point. Yukta Vairagya means yukta and Vairagya. The modern ISKCON definition is yukta, I engage it, but there's no Vairagya. I'm not doing it for Krishna. It's not connected to Krishna. I just do whatever I like. It's a great pat phrase. Yukta Vairagya, do whatever the heck I want and say it's all for Krishna. But how is it for Krishna? Where's the Vairagya? Vairagya means I'm engaging it in Krishna's service, not my service. It's my service to do this, so therefore it's engaged, but that service belongs to Krishna, the results are Krishna. Right? So, why is this example being given? Why are we not getting some, you know, dirty, stinky, smelly, intoxicated, fornicating karmi as an example here? We're taking Parikit Maharaj, top class, first class devotee, making this mistake. Why? Because this book is for us. This same mistake we are making, or can possibly make. And others may also make. Right? This is the system. Right? So here it's seen, it's understood, it's accepted. Mistakes are made. It happens. Right? Mistakes happen. Right? And that's, so if that's taken, life goes a lot easier. But if we follow the, you know, the more of, I'm not quite sure historically, I don't think the Salem witch trials would be the perfect example, but something akin to this, an Inquisition or anything, that somebody does something that's different. I'm always perfect. I'm morally right. And I wave the flag of morality. This is called Dharma Dvaji. It's one of the biggest obstacles in devotional service. Anybody does something wrong, they're right off. But I'm okay. I got the flag up. You know? So, it's not progressive. Here, it's seen. It's done something wrong, and it's right there. We can see it. And it's not for prajalpa. Right? Devotees do things wrong. We feel it's all right. We got to know. We have to know every last detail. We ought to know what size was the spoon and what if it was made out of silver, the snow it was cocaine with. It's our divine right to know. But it's not. Our right is something's wrong, therefore it creates this difficulty in devotional service, therefore I avoid it. Right? That's our right. More than that's not. It's prajalpa. So here it is. You want to talk about just who did what. Hey, here, this is here. This guy just, you know, hung a snake around some Brahma's neck. You know, another place, you know, Brihaspati ran off with the moon's wife. You know, another place, you know, you have, what is this, Puru Ravas. He's so attached to Urvasi, you know, that, you know, he can't live without her. I mean, there's plenty going on here. But why aren't we sitting around talking about it? Because it's put in the light of philosophy and culture and devotional progress. So it's not interesting. Right? It's only if it's mundane and it'll send us to hell, hey, then it's got taste, you know. But if it's going to make us progress, then, you know, forget it. Right? So, here we see that Maharaj Parikit, he's repenting. He's done something wrong. Then this is the method. First, the determination. One is purified of the sin by accepting that it's wrong and repenting. Then making the determination that I won't do this again. Then it's removed. Prabhupada says, by Krishna's grace, it's taken away because of that sincere mood. It's not by prayaschitta. The sixth chapter of the Bhagavatam is just to establish prayaschitta doesn't purify anybody. It's the proper attitude, mood, the proper association, proper situation. That's the purifying element. The holy name is a purifying element. There's nothing else that's purifying. Because we're mundane, therefore prayaschitta exists. But only for us. It's not a reality. It's also illusion. Right? Wrong is illusion, and prayaschitta is illusion. Right? If I drop an imaginary, you know, glass onto an imaginary floor that makes imaginary, you know, shards of glass all over, then sweeping it up is also imaginary. Because it doesn't exist. Does this make sense? So, the king's repenting, that's the real point. He's done something wrong, he thinks about it, the other person is a great person. Okay, maybe he should have, but he's a great personality, I shouldn't behave like this, I'm uncultured. Right? I'm neglecting Brahminical culture. Righteousness is below Brahminical culture. Brahminical culture is Dharma. His thing of coming and this and that is a lower principle. Right? So then, we see that, yes, so he's repenting. Shamika Rishi is also feeling bad that his son has acted in such a bad way, but nothing can do about it because his son's powerful, the curse has effect. So, being self-realized, he knows it's important to get out of here, so let's let the king know about it so he can correct him, you know, do the appropriate thing. The king could go and do so many things, but because he's so pained, he won't say anything. Right? He could say, yeah, just decide we could take the justice and drive it home. But he doesn't. He just accepts it. One is that he was hoping that something would happen, and two, now it is happening. Does that make sense? So culture then is the application of tattva. You may be right, you may be wrong, but unless the culture is applied on it, it doesn't have any meaning. Right? Chanakya says, whatever authority applies the law to each individual in exactly the same way, he will lose everything. He'll be destroyed. That's the bureaucrat's idea of how you apply the law. Because the law is the law, it applies to everybody exactly the same. That's for bureaucrats. Bureaucrats are shudras. They're not Brahmins. Right? A Brahmin means, I understand, a Kshatriya means, they understand the place is made of individuals. That's what Brahmins do. They train individuals. That's what Kshatriyas do, is create facilities for individuals. Even Vaishyas know, I'm selling my products to individuals. Right? So it's the individual that matters within the context of the law. So therefore, according to their knowledge, their particular strength, their mentality, the situation, what, you know, actually happened within that detail, then the law is applied. So it's very personal. So Vedic means personal. Western means not personal. You always say, I've noticed over the last month, I've bumped into a lot of senior devotees. And the question is always, you know, what's the Vedic trip? You know, what's it mean? What's the scene? A lot of them. They can't understand it. Because somehow or another, the idea of the Western scene, that's reality, and Vedic is not. Unfortunately, Prabhupada had exactly the opposite idea. And so, if we take on this opposite idea, know it, that it's not what Prabhupada wants. It has to be practical, it has to be applied. We understand America is a Vaishya culture, so it must be pragmatic. Yes, the Vedas are the most pragmatic. If you understand, if you have knowledge. The maverick is fine. The maverick breaks the rules, but the maverick is working within a realm of a sphere of something. They have some ability. So in Vedic culture, it's called spontaneous devotional service. Being practical, getting something done. So within that, that's intelligent. I understand the actual Vedic context, and I have enough intelligence how to make it practical. That's real brains. So one may not have that, one may be practical, you use what you got now, but if one opposes Brahminical culture, it's not to your credit. Not in the least. You know? Like that. Yeah, where wealth and strength are not engaged in the advancement of Brahminical culture, God consciousness and cow protection, the state and home are surely doomed by providence. Very clear. So this whole thing is that we don't. It's right here. What we're looking for is right here. Whatever we want is right here. We have to have that faith that what is said in the Bhagavatam, this is the real deal. This is what works. Anything else you can connect to this and do it for Krishna, that's Yukta Vairagya. But the Vairagya, the Vedic culture, and Yukta, the Western, that's not Yukta Vairagya. That's just being attached to to your middle-class upbringing. That's all it is. No ifs, ands, or buts. I say it very frankly. Devotees live the way they do because they live just the way they grew up in their own house, and they can't be detached from it. And they can't even be broad-minded enough to figure out that even if I want to do that, there's better ways to increase it, make it nicer. Kids get sick because they're dirty, right? Okay, so it's not just dirty to stick in their fingers in the mouth, there's also purity. Right? I've seen it. We were living in our grass huts with our cow dung floors, and everyone's washing their feet after going to the bathroom and this and that. I've had a kid with typhoid living in the ashram with other kids. No one else gets sick because the atmosphere is pure and everybody knows what cleanliness and purity is, so they don't pick up the disease. At the same time, I see it spreading like wildfire through the grihastha community at the same time. It's practical. Right? We have to have this faith. I'm only saying this because I see the society going in directions that are completely opposed to Brahminical culture. Talk is there, but talk's cheap. Talk is cheap. You know? Talk is cheap. You know, always talking about justice and this and political correctness. What has that got to do with indifference and God consciousness? What has it got to do with it? Is it a step or is it the goal? I don't hear. It's just the thing. You got to know. You got to understand. It's like talking to a lady when she's, you know, bent out of shape. Oh, you have to understand. You know, where's the logic? Where's the practical? Now, where is it? It doesn't exist. You can't discuss. Well, logically, why do we have to do this? Okay, maybe it's good. No answer. No answer. Think about it. So, Prabhupada is giving us the clues. It doesn't mean that whatever we're doing doesn't continue exactly the way it is. But the consciousness has to be such that we understand what's the higher principle of where we're going. Just because you have a nice family and you got some money and you fed everybody, great. In the Kali Yuga, everybody will say you're fabulous. They'll all agree you're a great person because you fed your family. They will. But it won't get you back to Godhead. Unless you're doing it because this family belongs to Krishna. You can say it is, but I'm talking about in your heart, not the waving the flag of religiosity. I'm sick of it. You know, before it's Dharma Dwaji was considered a bad thing. Now Dharma Dwaji is considered, you know, very Krishna conscious. But it's like the reality. Well, how is it? Explain it. We don't mind. You can use anything. Maharaj Prakrit had the world and he was using Krishna service. So that's not a problem. You can be as wealthy as you like and be this. It doesn't matter. How is it for Krishna? That's the thing. You make it for Krishna, it's perfect. Right? He's the emperor. He's perfect. The Pandavas are less than the emperor. They were the emperor, then they're less than the emperor. Then they're living in the forest. Wherever they, it's all for Krishna. That's not the problem. Emotions, they can be used for Krishna. But if you know what an emotion is, you know how it's supposed to work. Right? You know, how is it supposed to be? You know that, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not Maya. We're so detached when it comes to culture, and we're so attached when it comes to philosophy. Right? So we just have to find this balance that what Prabhupada gives here is what works for us. It's actually what makes things happen for us. If we put our faith in this, endeavor for this, in whatever situation we're in, it'll work. It'll work. We have to have that faith. Devotees in the beginning, they had the faith, they used it, they got results. Big results. People 3 months in the movement were opening temples, opening zones. Right? Now, you know, this, that, so many meetings, so many... courses, so many this and that, and still I don't, you know, where's the new zone opening? Where's the new temple? You know what I'm saying? So it was working. Right? Devotees were following the process, maybe badly, but they were following the process. In the 80s, it was the most wealth that anyone's ever seen. Because they were following the process. They worshiped Guru, they followed the program, they chanted, they preached, they did all those things. In the name of progress, throw out worship of the Guru. Where is the money? Everybody in this room practically is scratching for money. Where is it? Before it was falling out of the sky. Because it was Krishna's. So these are reality. We're only saying this to think. Don't getting on it. No one should take it personally. We're just saying these so that there is people think. Because being thoughtful is a basis of spiritual life. Manisha means I am thoughtful. So simply be thoughtful and apply and how it works and life goes on. What you have, you engage, your understandings, you apply. But it's just we should have faith that what Prabhupada's given us here is the foundation. Everything should be judged connected to that. So we'll end here. This is so many other programs. If there's any questions, we'll continue after. No, after. Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samhita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prenda ki. Your question, yes. How to make it work, how to balance it? Or? Yeah. The comment is there that we're chanting, we're reading, but when it comes to material aspects, then we're taking shelter of everything else. For marriage, then we're going to outside counselors and books. For raising children, it's outside books. For making money, it's outside books. So it's kind of hypocritical. So that point is there. Main thing is if one is chanting, that's the main principle. Because of all the activities, it's the most important. Because other things, the faith, not faith, will be based on our conditioned nature. Someone's more religious, less religious, or more philosophical, less, just by conditioned nature, then they'll be more inclined or not. That's natural. You know, or depending upon if they've done anything in the last life, their Sukriti. So that's not actually, the problem's not so much the outside books or materials. That's a symptom if the outside books are because we feel that there's nothing practical in Prabhupada's books. That's a problem. Because the detail, that's always there. You have the Shastra, the Veda gives the basic main principles. Then you have your smritis that are discussions between various great personalities on the application, the knowledge and application of these principles. So the principles are further clarified and their application is given. Then you'll have books written later that are, greatly respected, like Brahmira on I say on the Jyotish, or you have Chanakya on the Arthashastra, you know, or different things like that, where people have taken it and very practically applied it, so that it's very clear that here's the principle, here's the practical application. So that's natural. So in dealing with a modern contemporary situation, in some situations, some books from outside may be useful, just because it's the field. But one must always understand, so that's not the problem. The problem comes is that what's missed is the field is given by Krishna. So you want to read How to Make $1 Million, but why is it $1 Million is important? Who created the concept of wealth? That's God. So how wealth functions, that's God's principle. How you specifically apply it in this, in a business or in stocks or in other things, you know, selling land or that, that's a particular detail. So that may be useful, but what happens is the whole, the principles on which that detail is based, that becomes thrown out. And then the faith is gained, or the Western is more practical, more this, the Vedic's not. But the point is Vedic is simply a term we use for meaning what Krishna has created and what Krishna has given, how you use it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. Let's say you had a tape recorder. The tape recorder comes from the manufacturer with a manual. So let us, for example's sake, say that factory, that's Krishna, and that manual is the Veda. Now you have some intelligent nerd who sits down and fiddles with it and figures out how it works. Okay, that's there. Just like you could sit down with, you know, one of these programs, you know, from your computer, you know, your XP, Windows, or something like that. A kid can work out so many things, right? They put some computers without keyboard. I forget what it was. Only a mouse, no keyboard or something, in Delhi, out on the street, so the street kids could see them and use them. They're all in cages and everything, so no one can steal them. They would do stuff with either just the mouse or something. It was something that wasn't enough to work the computer with, but they could do anything with it. They could surf the net. They could do anything they wanted. They're so clever, they worked out. But now, all the things that XP could do, there's no question that kid would ever figure out. Because he doesn't even know there's concepts of those things. He wouldn't know you can merge files, and he wouldn't know. But he can do basic word processing and stuff like that. So these clever persons that observe the material energy, you know, these popular ones, Cubby was popular before, and now it's systems, and then there's, strategic planning, you know, all these different things. They're all there, they're real, they're useful. But they're created by someone whose intelligence sits down and watches the material energy for a sufficient length of time that they can see patterns. Then they make a philosophy based on that pattern. That's where it falls apart. Because what they've observed works in the situations they've observed it in, or things very similar. But they don't actually know the broad-reaching applications of details they've observed. They don't know the principles. Or they may know a principle, but they don't know the broadness of how it could be applied.
The subtle.
So that's where it breaks down. Because that's what's supplied by the Vedas. Right? And art is based on the Vedas. So what they're teaching, how to make $1 million, they're teaching you the art. The guy who makes $1 million knows the science. But the guy who reads the book is looking at the art. Right? It's just like you sell a book. Okay, you got the top book distributor, and he tells his lines and techniques to other devotees. So he goes around and he teaches thousands of devotees how to, you know, do that technique. How many are actually successful? Only a handful. And those guys would be successful whether he taught them or not. It would just take them longer. He taught them, they know immediately, because they are top book distributors. Everybody else is going and doing their service, trying to help, push on the movement. Right? So you teach them the technique. It's not the technique. It's the understanding, the science behind it, the whole move. I said this, and this glitter came in the person's eye. That means I'm going in the right direction, or it means I'm going in the wrong direction. It's not the line. The line is there to get the effect on the person. So that's the weakness. That's why, okay, I'm listening the other day to some devotee, I'm talking about something. You know, about these, because, you know, so bantied around the, you know, the strategic planning and or before recovery, and then I say something about that. Oh, that's out now. Now it's systems. They're all based on the same principle. Because if someone's a real manager, they would understand it's all the same. It's just where you want to emphasize for what. You know, it's the same thing. System means you have something down. Strategic planning means you're making a system. Kavi's saying, think ahead, so you have a plan, which means the system, which means strategic planning. It's all the same thing. There's no difference. But because they've observed the material energy under different situations, from different angles, they use different names, right? We're looking at it from Shankya, we call it water. We look at it from Ayurveda, we call it kapha. Right? We look at it from, higher levels, I mean philosophy, we call it ignorance. But it's the same thing. The effects are the same. So someone who knows that actually knows what they're doing. So that's the point, is that the problem is not using any outside material. We use outside cars, outside this, outside that. But previously it was simply that this is just something I'm using to get the spiritual work done. Nowadays it has meaning. It has definite meaning within the devotee's life, that he has this house and he has this car and his wife has these kind of saris and his kid has this education and he does this and that. No, then he's very respected. When before it was, he's a preacher, he's a good devotee, he's solid in that. He may have lots of money, man, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It didn't matter before. Now it matters. You're successful if you're rich and you're this and you're that and you're well respected. And Radharani's not well respected. Somehow that she is the only devotee in the universe. She's the origin of everything, but her rep is bad. She's got a bad rep. There's only bad news about Radharani. Right? So if you want to be politically correct, you'd want to stay as far away from Radharani as possible. You know? And Jatila and Kaptila and Abhimanyu, hey, they're right in there. They're the cutting edge of a political correctness, you know, because everything is being done right according to moral standards and everything, and Radharani's wrong, and they're going to go to the, you know, kings of Mathura and tell them about this Krishna, and, you know, they're doing the right thing, you know, truth and justice, and, you know what I'm saying? In other words, that's the lowest in the spiritual world, you know, they're like, you know, devotionally out of it. But in the material world, because it's reflected, they're the top. You understand? So Prabhupada said, good publicity, bad publicity, it's all good. But that's not what we say nowadays. Bad, oh, that's bad. But nowadays, there's no publicity. People don't even know who we are. I said this before. I flew into Miami. Right? Right next to Alachua, the biggest community in the movement. The people have never even heard of Hare Krishna. Nothing. It's not like I've seen or heard that, but you know, read nothing. They didn't even know they existed. So that's called no news. So that's not publicity. That's right. Yeah, well, have the spiritual authority of the Brahman. But it keeps going. We also want the ability to, you know, be lax and enjoy sense gratification like a seagull. Nobody should say anything. Same time as we want the influence of a kshatriya, we want the ability to move in all circles of a vaishya, vanaprastha. We want the complete freedom for doing whatever the heck we want in a grihastha, but at the same time we want absolutely no responsibility, just like brahmachari. So we are following Varnashram, yes. A very special, unique system, yeah.
It seems when we go into so many systems, that if you go to like interpersonal relationships, you go to just a couple basic principles like you were talking about, kindness, if you think of having truthfulness and mercy, just on a few of those basic things, so many things can come, and you miss it, you miss those.
Prabhupada was making the point is that you stick to these basics principles like, you know, cleanliness, mercy, kindness, all these things, then personal relationships work. Then you build on it. In other words, being sophisticated is fine. It's good. Right? Varnashram generally is taken as, for one of the musicians thrown as, unsophisticated. Right? You're a Vedic woman. It is uneducated, you know, very pleasant, nice, you know, trod upon, pregnant woman. You know, like that. And, you know, how you say, you know, a wallflower would probably be too prominent, you know, for you, so, like that. And, you know, the men is just, you know, they're out there, and they're, you know, their nails are always dirty because they're out there digging in the carrots, you know, and that's it. So, unfortunately, if we look in this book, Bhagavatam, even though it's based on agrarian culture, is there one farmer mentioned in this book? Right? Except for the apsaras, is there even hardly any shukras mentioned? What is that? And where is Pritikit Mars living? In a hut somewhere? The Pandavas? Oh, when they're in the forest, then even a hut they don't got, right? But everybody else that's there? It's the sages, they're living in a hut because they know it's better. And then it's the kshatriyas who are living in the city. So they're giving simple life. Village life doesn't mean that you're a simpleton. We may have simpletons, that's okay. But it doesn't mean that that's the goal. The Brahmins are living in the forest and the kshatriyas part of it, and it works nice. Because even though it's simple, it's sophisticated. This is something we don't have in Western culture. Western culture, if it's sophisticated, it's not simple, and if it's simple, it's unsophisticated. But the Vedic culture goes beyond. That's expert. But a master means it's simple, but it's sophisticated. So it's a higher culture. The Vedic culture is a higher culture because it's come to the mastery level. Where the Western, at best, comes to expert. So that's the whole thing. Shamika Rishi, he's so expert and so sophisticated, he can understand these principles. So therefore, he is sent to Pariket Maharaj and told him you're going to die. Right? So that's simple. You have to be simple to do that. But at the same time, he's sophisticated because he knows that this is what it's going to take for him to go back to Godhead. He's asking to pay. He's having to go from emperor of the planet down to pauper in 7 days. Right? He needs time. He was already living in the forest. Then something happens, he dies that moment, no problem. He's already indifferent. But he's on the platform. You can't get more of a platform of position and enjoyment than this. This is what the Taittiriya Upanishad and Anandavali. It's giving the standard of ananda, happiness in the universe, and then comparing it to spiritual. And it starts off counting one unit of happiness is a person who is the king or the emperor of the world, and his kingdom is running perfectly with no fault. That's Pariket Maharaj. That's counted as one unit of happiness, right? Everybody else you're having to deal with infractions, right? Then you take 100 times that is what they're getting on these, how you say, the antariksha, right? All these yakshas, rakshasas, paisachas, all these, you know, like superhuman entities, but they're not demigods. Then 100 times more than that is the Gandharvas. 100 times more than that is the citizen demigods, right? You have the demigods and they have the planets, but there's also just the common demigods. They're just there to have a good time. They're not responsible. They're not opening and closing your eyelids and doing that things like turning on and off the rain and stuff. They just live there and enjoy. Then 100 times more than that is those 33 million demigods. Then 100 times more than that are the demigods that are the primordial ones, like Kuvera for all the, you know, they're like the Lokapalas and that. There's just a handful of those. 100 times more than that is Indra. 100 times more than that is Brihaspati. 100 times more than that is Brahma. And then that is just a fraction of a portion of a drop in the ocean of Brahmananda on the spiritual platform. Right? So his position is taken as one unit of happiness. All the rest of us are, you know, grubbing around with, you know, quite a few zeros after the decimal point, you know, like that. So he's intelligent. He knows that he has to be given time to make that adjustment. Right? Because he's a devotee, he is dealing with the material energy. So to just, you know, you work with this, you work with that, you have to make those adjustments. So that's sophisticated. But to be able to do it, that's simple. Right? Like a child could say anything. Right? Everybody else is very quiet and says, "Oh, why was that?" You know, or is that because of this? And everybody's just, you know, won't say anything. That's because we're too sophisticated. We can't interact. So that's the perfection of the Vedic culture. It's simple, but it's sophisticated. Simple meaning is based on the principles, because things only become simple when there's principles. Either there's nothing, or there's principles. But actually, if you look at it, it's always been. The baby is simple, right? It needs to eat, needs to go to the bathroom, needs to sleep, right? And it needs some attention. Based on those principles, then everything goes. So even when they're 16 years old, they still need to eat, they still need to sleep, they still need attention, they still got to go to the bathroom. Right? But now it's a little more sophisticated. But it's still the same principles. Right? Kid doesn't get good food, doesn't get attention, right? Doesn't get enough sleep, or doesn't get to go to the bathroom. You know, there's problems. Right? So the principle is simple. That's what's missed. So if the principle is accepted, then on that, depending upon your individual degree of sophistication, then you develop it. That's fine. So that's the Vedic approach, is start from the basics. So here, basics means the principles. Basics doesn't mean ABCs. Basic means, what is language? You understand that's different? It's very simple. It's very simple. It means I need to communicate with someone else. Okay? That gives rise to length. Why do I need to communicate? Because I need to experience rasa. Right? Ananda. That's the nature of the soul. Ananda is experienced through interaction with someone else, unless you're Atmarama. Right? And only God can be Atmarama all the time. We can be temporarily, but for the real thing, we're Ananda. So Ananda means I'm going to interact with someone. Why someone? Because sambandha, relationship, and I must interact because of avideya. Right? So I'm Satchidananda. So I have to interact with people on the platform of rasa. That's the way I'm built. Right? So now that gives rise to communication. That's language. Right? So then language has to be made out of words. Right? And these words then have to have their basic principles, you know, their sounds. And those sounds must be, then for us in this age, they have to be something writable. You understand? That's language. That's what it is. It's not the ABC, so that's the problem. It's in the modern thing is, oh, basic ABCs, that's for kids. No, we're talking about ABCs is already a little advanced. We're talking about, well, what's the fundamental, why do I have to even communicate? So if that's there, then when I'm learning, okay, now why is the kid can't put together a sentence? Because they haven't understood the principles I have to communicate. And what am I communicating? I got a point. So they can't make a clause because they don't know what a point is. Right? And then if you can't make a clause, you're not going to make a sentence. If you can't make a sentence, you're not going to make a paragraph, no essay. So no school teaches you, you have to communicate. This is what it's for. You have an idea, you want to get this across. Right? You get these in self-help books, and they teach you this in university. But they won't teach it to you before that. So the Vedas start there. Right? And that's the point. The principles are postgraduate understanding. The detail is according to where you are, kindergarten or first grade, second grade or university. But the principles, those are always advanced. And they're so simple. That's why Prabhupada, he's a master. He could give the simplest thing to everybody. Right? Like that. The foundation of Krishna consciousness. I'm a devotee. I'm not this body. I'm servant of Krishna. Krishna's God. Material world is his energy. It's illusion if I'm using it, not Krishna's service. Developing love for God is the perfection of life, and the process is through chanting the holy name. Every devotee knows that. Because Prabhupada was so expert that he gave the essence. Everything else is based on that. There's not one point in philosophy or culture that's not based on those. What we just mentioned. Right? Everything's on that. So if that's understood, then I understand material energy is Krishna's energy to be engaged in his service. So then whenever I approach these other, the outside, the material energy, to, I will always use it that way. It can, if it's used separately than that, it's Maya. If it's used like that, it's Krishna conscious. Simple thing. So that's all. So we're using it. Great. Okay. But is it Krishna? We're using political correctness. Okay. Great. Is it Krishna conscious? You know, how is it Krishna conscious? Oh, it betters the movement. How does it better the movement? You have to be able to explain. Oh, it puts us in a good light. Good light meaning what? What's a good light? Right? What does that mean?
So the Veda world has to be like the people who know that you can get better units of happiness to follow the Vedic system. In the materialistic side, the people who want to get to this one unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, here you're trying to get to that. Yeah, why be master of the planet when you can be master of the universe? Yeah, it's bigger. Yeah, the thing is it's if it was understood that this is what worked, then materially even that we would turn to the Vedas. It means it's not a great thing. Prabhupada doesn't propound it, that, but he makes a point, even whatever you want, then it's going to be gotten from Krishna. Even you want position, fame, sense gratification, you name it, whatever is popular these days, you're only going to get it from Krishna. It's not going to come from anywhere else. The people that are rich today, they were rich 20 years ago. Like that. I don't see many new rich. It means young people coming up, but the old ones who are talking, reading on the books, I don't see them becoming richer. The ones that were rich 20 years ago, 30 years ago, they're the ones still rich today. You know? So it's like that. So unless you have it in the nature, it's not going to happen. So even we want material facility, one can use modern technique, but you have to use Vedic principles. Otherwise, it will give you a bad reaction. Even if you use the Vedic principles, ultimately the material world is going to dissolve because we don't belong here.
So,
it's by acting, it's not so much by renouncing, it's by acting without the desire for the fruitive result. Because renouncing generally tends to mean inaction. So Krishna is saying inaction and action, action, inaction. So I don't deal with the money, but I still value wealth. So that even though I'm inactive, I'm still active. But the devotee is getting wealth and using wealth for Krishna, so even though it's action, it's actually inaction. So that's the point, is that you want to apply yourself, but it's not what is working there. Give an example. We gave an example before about the kid, is that there's another completely opposite example. You take in martial arts, the point is you're dealing with life errors. In the beginning, people learn technique and punch each other in the nose and stuff like that. But those, as you advance, if you start with a hard school, the end of the line, when you get to the master level, it's actually all you're doing is moving the energy. And you're not moving it, you're just allowing the energy to move through you. Right? That's the method. Is you want something, you want wealth, so wealth has its own religion. So you just have to be an instrument for allowing the process of wealth to act through you. Right? Then you will be in connection with the result. You're not the cause of the result, because the process is the cause, but you're not the cause of the process. The process already existed. We just became an instrument in applying it. Otherwise, if it was because we did the process, why is it that we do it sometimes and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't? No, it has its own. So, in other words, you allow it to happen. But allow doesn't mean that we're passive. That's the mistake. That's Buddhism, that's Jainism. That's you know, like this. Shunyavad, Nirvishay is these. Is that if I'm not interested in the result, I'm not interested in the activity that gives the result. And then the relationship is bogus. So someone the Abhidev Prayojan gets thrown out, so you're left with void. But the point is I am acting, but I am acting for higher principles. Is I have to act. Krishna is laughing at Arjuna that he'd go to the forest and be inactive. No, he has to act. He's a kshatriya, he'll act like that. Jiva is active, they'll have to act. So renounced is not the point, because it's not ours in the first place. I mean, we have a thing called renunciation because we think it's ours, so then we have a process by which we give it up. But it wasn't ours in the beginning, just like this thief has stolen it, and then there's a process for making him renounced. You know, it's called the police coming and taking it away from him. You know, so that's there. That's there. Or voluntarily, he could turn himself in and turn in the goods, and then he gets a better position, right? So, but it wasn't his in the beginning. That's why indifference is mentioned here. Indifference means you can work with and not work with it. Doesn't matter, right? I'm working with it now. Let's say someone's attached; they're working with their family. But actually, when they become detached, it doesn't matter if they work with their family or not. So since they're in family life, why they wouldn't continue? If it's favorable. Right? They're able to be Krishna conscious, the facilities are beneficial, their wife and kids are becoming Krishna conscious, why would they give it up? Because if they're actually detached, what does it matter? So real detachment is indifference. Indifference means I don't care, because that's actually active. I don't like. But that's dynamic. Passive is it doesn't matter. They can be there or not be there. What does it matter? I live, I die. Who cares? If I'm living, I do service. I'm dead, then I'll do service, you know, in the spiritual world. So it's a different idea. It's not the giving up, because the giving up is a process. But it's a matter of, so that becomes the process, my giving it up. No, I gotta give up, I'm eating too much, I gotta, no, it's that, why do I have to give up eating? Bhima would eat voraciously, because he would do big work. So, I'm eating too much if I'm not burning up the energy that I'm of what I'm eating. So that means if my work is not that active, either mentally or physically, then I can afford to eat less if it's making me sick or that. Or if I have high metabolism, I eat what I want, it's going to burn off anyway. So what's the whole purpose? So the purpose is I have to do some work and I'm falling asleep or I'm getting sick. Therefore, I need to give it up. Because I have a purpose there, then it has meaning. But just to be austere for austerity's sake, Goswamis weren't austere for austerity's sake. They just forget about eating and sleeping because they were so busy in their service. Right? So that was the thing. And then according to what works, not too much, not too little. If it's too little, then we start getting agitated and nasty in that. Not offending the Vaishnavs will do more for our devotional service than, you know, eating or sleeping less. You know, if we sleep 4 hours a day and eat once a day and then we're agitated that everybody bothers us, we'll make more advancement by eating how much we want to eat and being very nice to the devotees. You know? But if by eating so much then we're not doing our service, then we eat. So we have to find that, where's the balance? Is that okay? Yeah, balance is okay. Yes.
What makes us able to forgive?
What makes us able to forgive? Very good point. This is probably the prominent quality of the Brahminical culture. A Brahmins is their forgiveness. One element is to know that another person is only an instrument for what is due to you. It's not the other person. So something happens to you unjust, it's only coming to you through that person. The person is culpable because they've done the activity, because they have the mentality to be used by material energy to do it. But that it's come to you, it's not that person, because if that person didn't do it, then the material energy would choose another person. You understand? So it will come to you because of your activity. If I drop a rock and it falls on my toe, I can't blame the rock. Right? I can't blame my hand. It's my inattentiveness, therefore the hand dropped the rock on my toe. Does that make sense? So it's knowledge. Knowledge, humility. I think I'm special, therefore I've been wrong. Who are they? Lack of tolerance, because I think I'm special. Because I think I'm special, others should respect me. I'm special, I don't necessarily have to respect them. Right? So those principles of Trinada Pisamicha, that has to be practiced, thought about. The main is the knowledge. Know that it's coming through, so it's not so. Therefore, it's one of those things we have to learn to, because even you correct it, still doesn't mean it's gone away. It's only come to you because you deserve it. It only means something to you, right? Same thing happens to one person, it happens to another person. One person just, no big deal. The other person is incensed, right? Why? Because that particular thing that happened is actually important to them, either in the positive or the negative. And the person that doesn't, they're indifferent to it. So the indifferent person who is a personalist are the nicest people to be around. Right? Someone who's indifferent, who's not personal, means that they're still active in their so-called inaction. Those people are too dry. You know? And the people who are very attached and they're very annoying. Because there's no proper rasa. There's someone who's detached, they're always happy, they're always... They're the nicest people to be around. Everybody's inspired by being around them. You know? Like that. So that should be a clue why it is. No one likes grumpy people. You're only grumpy because you think something's going wrong for yourself. Right? Like that.
Sometimes it's hard to accept that we're the cause of what comes to us because we don't remember.
You don't remember, but you have to think about it. In other words, why did you notice it? Why did you notice it? You only what's there in your personality will you notice. Right? A person who is tone deaf won't notice a nice melody. A person who doesn't know colors won't know. You take them into a fabulously done house and they're not going to notice that the curtains match the rug, match the vase, match the furniture. You know, they won't notice. You know, they'll come in and go, "Oh, nice sofa. I like big sofas." You know, but they didn't notice the color. Because they like comfort, so they'll notice comfort. What's comfortable? They won't notice colors. You know what I'm saying? So whatever is your values, either in the positive or the negative, that's what you're going to perceive. So position, you know, the person does something that bothers you in a position, who do they think they are? Because position is very important. You want to be in the big position. Or you were in the big position and you've worked on it and gotten rid of it and made yourself humble, and now you can't tolerate others who are, you know, still, you know, puffed up. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean in the positive or the negative. Otherwise you won't notice it. Someone who's humble doesn't notice that someone else is proud or this or that, you know, like that. You know, one brahmacharya has been out of shape, this temple commander, who do you think he is? He's so, and the other brahmacharya is, okay, yeah, wash, okay, do this. Because position doesn't mean anything to them. Position means something to the other. The other one would like to be the temple commander. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is it always comes back to us. So even if we don't remember what it was, that doesn't matter. And ultimately, if we can't figure it out, then Prabhupada in one letter says that, then know that Krishna is the cause. Because he remembers. Right? Krishna says, I remember all the births, you don't. So he knows what you need to go through and get and that. And Krishna puts it all together so nicely. You know? He wants to teach you something and put everything together at one time. Like that. You know, and then it happens. You don't know why it happened. There's something else. You know, there's some good from it, some bad, you know. But if you ultimately look, that if we, you know, accept it, then we see, yeah, this is good. This is good. Okay? Okay. So I think we should probably end here for today.
Why I am inattentive?
Why we are inattentive?
Because the word for it, my good, inattentive means actually I'm not the one who's controlling the body. I'm not the one who's controlling the body. I'm not the one who's controlling the body.
Yeah, it means that inattentiveness generally comes because there's something else that's important. Because inattentive means to one thing, but we're always conscious of something. You know, it's just like the kids are inattentive of things. They just see a straight line and they want to get from this side of the house to the other. So they step on this and that and push this out of the way and they just get there. So they're attentive to what they want, but they're inattentive to what else. So that's what the training is for, is that. And if you say, why are you doing that? Then the kid will say, no, but I was trying to get to the other side to do this. And what they're trying to do is very bona fide. Maybe, you know, the music was on too loud or something like that. But there is consideration of other living entities in the way. That's our weakness. So much of the time when the points of justice, we may even be right on one platform. Maybe to some degree our motive or the activity we were doing is right. And the other person compared to that is wrong, but then there's the bigger picture. You know, in doing it, we can't therefore neglect our duties towards everything else. You know, in other words, unless it's such an emergency, but then if it is and we actually do know our duties, then we'll all know what we're wrong and then we'll regret that and come and say, you know, if, let us say that the person is there and something dangerous is going to happen, we may just run up and push them out of the way very strongly. And then they may, oh, it's going like this and that, but you saved them from something. You know, and then if you just go, wow, I was saving your life, but no, it's like, yes, I saved your life, but pushing was bad. And you may have got hurt or this or that, it was sudden, a shock, it's emotional disturbance. So I'm really sorry for that. Rather than, yes, I'm the doer and I saved you and I this and I that. You know, rather than, yes, I did it because of this, but I'm really sorry, Pusha, if you got hurt or if you got a bruise or it was so sudden you got shocked or, you know, I didn't mean to do that, but it's just that, you know, this was happening. So, like that, forgive me. You know, so, and then they'll make, oh, thank you, no, that was right, it's not, I'm the idiot, I wasn't looking. You know, then you get, whatever you were expecting them to say will only come by your submission. But the problem is we want to be God, you know, so I say, therefore it happens, you know, that's many times a major problem in authority, just a principle, not in empathy, is that because I said it, it has to happen. Then I'm in authority. And if they don't accept it just because I said, then they're going against my authority. But that's not authority. Krishna's authority. He's authority whether we accept it or not. He is God. And how does he deal? Very subtly and in a way that we understand. That's authority. So just because I said it, it's just like, okay, you're the school teacher, and just because you said, you know, 7 + 3 = 10, and the kids don't understand it, and then you go, these stupid kids, that's not a teacher. You could say, I'm the authority, I'm the teacher, they have to understand what I'm saying. No, the teacher means they got to get it through. So that applies to the teacher, applies to the leader, applies to the parent, applies to, you know, any position, is that the authority is there because of what you have to get done, your responsibility. But within the culture, you have to use knowledge and culture. In other words, the tattva and rasa have to be applied to every situation. So it's tattva that I'm the temple president, or I'm the parent, or I'm the sankirtan leader, or I'm the, you know, whatever I am, you know, head bottle washer or something like that. You know, and I said the brush goes here, and no, he didn't. You know, why? You just explained that we put it here because the sink's here, and when you need the brush, it's right there. You put it in the bottle and hang it up. Hey, easy. Then looking all over, they go, ooh, yeah, okay. You know, but it's like, because I said it, he has to do it. So what? You got to get the bottles washed. You know, I mean, we're not here to establish our authority. We're here to help whoever is our dependent. So like that is then the yeah. Does that make sense? Like that. So then it starts to work well, and then people appreciate that. They appreciate it's nice. It's there. You know, because then we can also be an authority and have fault. Because I am by nature an authority, and or I am by nature a follower, right? And every, you know, and every authority has a someone above them, and every follower has someone below. But whatever is prominent, so my service is doing that for Krishna. So it's not a so the temple president, he has the ability to manage and take that kind of responsibility. That is his way of perfecting his devotional service. So he will make mistakes. If he was perfect, he wouldn't be here. He'd already be back in the spiritual realm. And the person who's following, by following, they perfect their devotional service. That was why Prabhupada would take leaders, and if they do something stupid, put them right back in the same place. Because he understood this. That's a principle. That's devotional service. Nowadays, it's, oh, this and that. To be a leader, you've got to be so perfect. But according to Scripture, to be a follower, you have to be perfect. Right? Like that. I mean, the qualification, I mean, I looked at it a few years ago. I probably look at it today. The qualification that Sanatana Goswami gives to be a disciple, I don't feel I'm up to it. I haven't attained that yet. But we can really nicely quote what's the standard for a guru. And oh, that must be there. You know, the disciple can be a rat bag, but that doesn't matter. Guru's got to be perfect. You know, so it doesn't work like that. You know, it's worked under principles. Someone perfects themselves by that. Someone's perfecting themselves by being a grihastha. Someone's perfecting themselves by being a brahmachari. Someone else by being a sannyasi. You know, it's like that. Or someone by brahminical activities. It doesn't matter. It's whatever is the nature, one uses that in Krishna's service to perfect his life. It doesn't matter what it is. That's the beauty of devotional service. It doesn't matter. The only reason here he's saying then vanaprastha sannyasa and grihastha, because the nature of working with the realm of attachment is to kind of get too caught up in it. Because it means you cannot, even though you're indifferent, the family can't see that. They should not perceive it. If they perceive it, they start to become stressed due to feeling lack of security. But the only respect ahead of the family who is. So he must actually be, but act as if he's not. Right? Bhagavatam Singh, the seventh canto. All these things. He's telling the family how much important they are and how dear and this and that. That's his duty. They feel happy, they feel secure. And it's not just, he's just saying it, he's actually working and creating the facility and protecting them and taking care. Yeah. Yeah. Means they're Krishnas, and if I care for Krishna, I have to care for his paraphernalia. So, therefore, Grihastha Ashram is supposed to teach you how to expand, not contract. The brahmachari could only see himself, therefore by getting married, then he has to see others. But it's supposed to be everything belongs to Krishna. So you start with that. Rather than nowadays, it contracts it. Someone gets married, instead of being able to do something big, it goes down to nothing. He can't look at any other lady, talk to any other lady, because his wife won't allow it. You know, he has to go out and get money. No, that's it. Devotional service is finished. Right? Before it wasn't. All our leaders were grihasthas, all the presidents in that. I don't know, nowadays there's this idea that before it was all brahmachari sannyasis that were managing and screwed the society up. When I was in brahmachari, it was all grihasthas. It was one or two temples were brahmacharis or sannyasis. That was the thing. Someone was a brahmachari, good leader and all that. They want to make him temple president. First thing he did was get married. Because he had to deal with the women and this and that. You know, so they were very responsible. They, Prabhupada Singh, the GDC were supposed to be grihasthas, not sannyasis. You know, the original GDC basically were all grihasthas. Few weren't. And then they all took sannyas. And then now it's, you know, different. So it's supposed to be, grihastha means you're expanding. Because I have a keyhole vision on life. I have to sacrifice and serve others. And I'll only do it because I'm forced by attachment. But the principle is still good. They're Krishna's devotees and I'm working for them. Then with time I become purified and hey, I'm also the same principle works if I work with, you know, other people. And then you start to understand by being humble and serving everybody. Because that's the Naistika Brahmacharya is one who can serve. The Upapravana can serve, but he also has a little bit of need, so he gets married. Then he perfects that service attitude. Then he's serving there, he serves there, and then as a vanaprastha, he's more free to serve the community, he's more free. Right? Because the grihastha is his family and immediately what he deals with in his service and interaction, and that's all. The vanaprastha serves the community, the sannyasi, the world. So it just broadens it because there's less that you have to deal with. Therefore, it's an advantage. And because of habit, you don't have to deal with those. You just think like that and deal like that because that's what you have to do. You have to act as if you're in an attached way. So Parikshit Maharaj here, because he's the king, he has to establish religious principles. He sits in court 6 hours a day. And people bring all the different, you know, titles of the law to him. He has to establish it according to that, who's right and wrong according to Dharma Shastra. He walks into Samyakamuni's ashram he applies the same thing there. And then when he leaves, he's thinking, I shouldn't have done that. This is the sage. He's not, you know, I'm not sitting in my court and judging him. So why would I do that? So just by habit, one will do. That's why it's recommended that one goes through those, the ashrams in that way. It's not that the grihastha ashram is the problem, but by habit, one will do things that aren't necessarily the most ideal for going back to Godhead. But it's necessary if one's below that standard. Right? The brahmachari who hasn't broadened his understanding and all that enough, and his being in personal interactions enough, by becoming a grihastha, he develops that. Then when that's perfected and the family is well situated, then he can move on to now share this with a broader, you know, community. Is that, so it's a very different perspective. You know, so this thing, you know, this ashram's good, that one's bad, it's good or bad depending upon, you know, which is good. Is the cauliflower good or is the potato good, right? One of them's got to be good, the other one has to be bad, right? No, they have their purposes. You know, so that's the thing, you know, is milk good or is water good, you know? One of them's the nonsense, you know. No, they each have their purpose. Water cleans the body, refreshes the body. The milk, you know, gives, you know, energy, and it develops the brain. So they both have their purpose. So grihasthas, everybody's, all the money that is going on in our life is all coming from grihasthas. It doesn't come from the others. Sannyasis get money, it's coming from grihasthas. Brahmacharis get money, it's coming from grihasthas. Vanaprabhas is coming from grihasthas. Grihasthas generate all the money. Like that. That's where it comes from. So they support everybody else, so they're very important in the community. But, you know, perfecting materially things in the material world is not the ultimate. Therefore, one goes beyond that to detach from that and indifference, and then going back to Godhead. You know, but socially and materially, the senior ashram or the superior ashram is the grihastha ashram. If you're looking at it from the karma kanda point of view, the grihastha ashram is the top because they maintain all the others. Because the grihastha is doing the yajnas and generating the money to do the yajnas and engaging everybody else. From yajna then comes rain, and from rain all the living entities are satisfied. From doing yajna, the demigods are nourished, so the grihasthas maintain the universe. But that's the point, is maintain the universe, the respect for that is important, but they maintain the universe. Our purpose is to get out of the universe. Therefore, then, once one's perfected that, then vanaprastha sannyas become very important. But until that lesson's learned, it's very important for those who need it. And basically, that's most. Like that. Means, in other words, those who in this life don't need to be involved in grihastha life is because they did it last life, but they did it. You know, so it's, everybody's got to go through it. So it's a matter of, it's easy to stay away from it this life because it's already been done. You know, and if it hasn't been fully completed, then it's necessary this life. But, you know, what's the big deal? Going back to Godhead, we're talking eternality. What's 20, 30 years? No big deal. You know. But at the same time, there's that humility. You know, Prabhupada says first class man doesn't get married, second class man does. So that's the point. Okay, we're humble. I'm second class. I have these needs. But getting married is the first class way to bring oneself to the first class platform. You know. Due to false ego, not getting married, then that's you know, a tenth class way of dealing with trying to keep yourself on the first class path. You know? Yeah, one step. So that's the principle. Okay, so the post class, post questions, we'll end here. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Chaitanya Taigo, Rupena Nandi. Thank you.
Thank you, Mara. Thank you. Good questions. Good questions. Good questions. Bad questions.